This is the Full Frontal Living Podcast. I'm your host, Master Coach, and emotional resiliency expert, Lisa Carpenter. I'm here to be your guide through real, raw conversations, navigating life as a high achiever. This show covers what it takes to create physical and emotional well-being, along with how to honor and partner with your body. I'm here to guide you to a connected relationship with yourself, turning self-care into a way of being and not just another task on your to-do list. After all, the things we love, we take care of. This podcast gives you permission to love what you do, but love yourself more. Welcome to the Full Frontal Living Podcast. Well, hey, listeners, thanks for tuning into another episode of the Full Frontal Living Podcast. And I'm excited today because I have a guest on who's been on the podcast before, my good friend, Patty. And we are just going to have a conversation today, a little bit about, I would say, predominantly women in business, trends we're seeing around connection, simplification, because this is something that I went into 2022, even doubling down on more. So we're going to talk about some changes that we've made within our own businesses. So if you're listening to this and you're not a business owner, that doesn't mean that there isn't going to be value in this conversation, because I try and bring everything back to just like regular life, how this applies to regular life, not just business. But I also do really love talking about the behind the scenes of business, because I find that there's so many kind of things out there that can keep us trapped in, we think we need to do it this way, or we should do it this way. And I don't know, nowadays, and you'll probably agree, Patty, we're marketed to by everybody out there that you can just like take this course or learn this thing or try this strategy and you'll make your $1 million. And I mean, I've been running my business now for 2 decades, and it's only been over the past, 3 years that my business has become really successful and really profitable. And it actually wasn't from the tactics and strategies, although I've learned a lot along the way. It was really a lot about leaning on my own intuition, following my gut, letting go of the crap that wasn't working and moving forward. So before I like go on and on and on, go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody. Let them know how you help people, why you're so awesome, why we love each other so much.
Why we love each other. Hey, everybody. I am Patty Dominguez, and I am on episode 3 with you, Lisa. I think this is like a yearly thing we do. Oh. I don't know if you recognize this, but it's been 3 times I've been on your podcast, and it's always a really good, timely conversation. So I too, I have been in business since 2013. I was in corporate for many, many, many years, got entirely burnt out, and then just ventured off into my own. So I've been self-employed now for 9 years, and talk about, I've gone through all the roller coasters and ebbs and flows and cycles that there are in business. So I most definitely, like you, come from a place of knowing. Like, I know what I'm talking about. When we have this conversation, y'all, we know. Because talk about, well, and if I may, like, the one thing that was really impactful for me when I first met you, you said that you had literally deleted, and I'm paraphrasing, your entire email list. I'm like, what? That got my ears perked. But there was such a great reason. And I believe we talked about that in the first podcast that we hosted together. And that's just been such a catalyst for doing the thing that is such, could be seen as a contrarian view, that we're doing it for the right reason. So it's like, just like really recognizing and not being attached to those kind of risky moves.
Yes.
Right. And so we've talked about, for example, before we hit the record button, talking about Marie Kondoing our business. That's the way that I referred to it. And I was like, what? I did that again before you hit the record button about your team. Do you want to talk about that? Because I think that's such a relevant theme this year.
Yeah. So 2021, and by the time this comes out, I probably will have published the episode around what I kind of walked through near the end of 2021. Like, I walked off the stage, came back into Canada, and literally my mental health took a beating. Mm-hmm. So over the holidays, I had COVID. And of course, you know, at the end of the year, most of us are reflecting on our lives and our businesses. So even though my business end of year isn't till the end of February, I was really looking at what it is like, what do I need this year in business? What is working and what isn't? And what I came to realize, I love the podcast. And in 2021, I had an entire team. I had a podcast team. They're amazing. Like, I love them. I would refer them to everybody. I had writers helping me. So my podcast would get transcribed. My writers would create social and emails. I would edit them to make sure that it, you know, it read the way I wanted it to, but they were doing the heavy lifting. My podcast editor was, you know, publishing the podcast. And quite honestly, we repurposed a lot of podcasts in 2021 because I had, you know, I was working on my show. But what happened was, you know, when you're working with a team, you have to be respectful of their boundaries, which I totally get, right? They don't want my episodes at the last minute. So they wanted me to batch episodes. And every single time I would be like, oh, I hate this. It feels heavy. And she would say to me, but you know, if you feel like talking about something, just, you know, record it, throw it in this rogue folder. We had a rogue folder. And she's like, well, just publish it. But the problem is, I would batch these episodes, or I would do this rogue episode. I would be totally lit up about the content. But by the time it was published, I was so far past it. I was no longer connected to the message, which then, like, nothing was flowing on social media. I couldn't remember what I talked about because I literally am that person. If I put the shirt in the drawer, I forget I have the shirt. The shirt goes in the laundry, comes back, and I'm like, oh my God, my shirt. I'm that person. Like, there's some ADHD going on here. So it just wasn't feeling good for my energy. I was feeling really disconnected from my message. I was feeling disconnected from my community. I felt like I wasn't sharing in real time. So they were listening to something, and then, like, I was disconnected. So I just realized that I couldn't keep working like that. And I knew that my team only could work like that. So as much as I loved my beautiful show notes and the amazing editing and the sound being cleaned up, I just had to take a step back and say, you know what, like, crappy audio and all my ums and ahs and okays and rights that I say, like, all the stuff that makes me, I don't care. I'm just going to go back to self-publishing. So I let go of my entire podcast team, and I let go of my writers. And now I sit down once a week and I write my email from my heart with what's going on in my life. And I record my podcast based on what's here right now. What do I feel that I need to talk about? And then I go post on social the same thing that's relevant to that. So it was real, you know, when most people who are listening to me, and you know this, I always talk about how we can do less, right? We need to do less. We need to do less. Yeah. And this was a case of, I need to do more. I need to really look at the things that are super, super important that really only I can do, that are going to make me feel connected to my audience, to myself, to my message. And I need to do those things, and I need to not outsource those things. And, you know, the irony is, like, this last email that I sent out where I was sharing a bit of this story, I had more responses to that email than I've had in a long time because my energy was infused into it. So it's just, it's weird because I'm like, I don't really want to do more, right? It was lovely having space of having, you know, just recording something and then never thinking about it again, but it actually didn't serve me or my energy. And in 2022, I just really need to stay grounded and present. That's one of my words for the year, is present. I can't be present if I'm batching episodes. So I know that works for a lot of people, but it doesn't work for me.
Yeah. So it's just really honoring the way that you work best. And for me, I'm on the third podcast. So I've done three different podcasts. And the first one, we had an editor and the whole thing. And then the second one, and I haven't had an editor at all. We hit the go button on mine and it's good. It's all good. I mean, honestly, Lisa, I stutter sometimes and it's okay. Like, if anyone needs editing, it's probably me, but I really just don't care. No, and I've never had somebody contact me like, you stuttered there. I don't want to listen to your podcast anymore. Like, it just doesn't matter. You know, we don't need to overperfect. And the reality is, when I have my flubs or things that I do and I laugh at myself, people like that's 100% real. And it's 100% personality. And people will comment on things that I've said as crutches or things like that. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe somebody like heard that, remembered that enough to say that or to bring it up again. So I totally stopped doing that. The over-perfecting of the podcasting so long ago. I mean, yes, I do clean up where we put in the intro, the outro, and clean up the audio with a like a really savvy tool that I found, but it's so simple. And that in and of itself, I mean, the podcast producing company that we used to use for a hot minute, I want to say it was between $800 to $1,000 a month right there.
Yeah.
So see, this is what I'm talking about around like, wow, that adds up. That's $12,000 right there. If you look at the yearly expense and just really recognizing, is the return on investment worth it? And I know that you said that your team is amazing, which is as women, so we could kind of parlay this topic in a different way, but like as women, I have found my experience that we love our team to the extent that you're like, oh, I really like her. I don't want to let her go and this and that. So you kind of feel bad about it. At least I was experiencing that. Had a couple of clients go through that same thing. When you're looking at your business objectively, right, without the emotion, mm-hmm. and just saying, am I getting the right kind of ROI? Because I bet you can simplify, or like I said, declutter, Marie Kondo your business in a way where you're looking at it objectively and saying, does this make sense for me to have that? Like, where's the value add in right. the system of your business? And am I being a good steward of my money?
And that's a huge thing, you know, because I've had multiple times in my business where I've let people go and just said, you know what, Lisa, like, let's be honest here. You're not profitable. So you're running in a deficit. So to me, and it's different for everybody, for some people, they need to learn how to spend and invest their money. And that's where their growth edge is. For me, my growth edge was learning how to allow myself to hang out with my money and not have it run out the door as fast as it came in, and take responsibility for, yes, I could hire someone to do this, but maybe my lesson is in knowing that I can be successful doing it on my own and understanding the steps of doing it, so that when more money runs into my business, I can allocate that money for team. So, you know, even with letting my writers go and my podcast team go, that was money then that came back into my business that I was able to allocate for something else. Like, I give my OBM a raise because she was long overdue for a raise and she does a lot. And if we need, you know, if one of my episodes sounds really crappy, she can go hire somebody to clean it up for me. So I'm always looking at where I'm spending my money, how I'm spending my money. Am I being a good steward of my money? And I can't spend my money on something just because I love you. I love my podcast editor. We're good. Like, we're good friends. Like, we would hang out together, right? I know her. She was in, you know, a lot of the circles that I'm in. And like I said, I would refer her to anybody. Same with my writers, but I couldn't justify the money that I was spending on writing. Although it was great, it freed up my time. I needed it for last year. I couldn't, when I looked at what the investment was, I couldn't define the ROI. And if I can't define the ROI, right, like, I have to be able to measure it. And this is something that, you know, you've watched me learn this, like, measuring data in my business instead of just going by feelings. There's room for both. But when it comes to my money, I have to like measure out both. And in this case, you know, with not competing this year, having that time, wanting to be connected to my message, it just didn't make sense for me.
Yeah, I would say that for me, the biggest challenge that I had once upon a time, I love the quote that you said where you're treating your business like a piggy bank. Cause I'd be like, oh, I want that course. I want that. And I want to hire that coach and do that. So I have completely abolished that entire perspective to think that, well, it's an investment, you know? So I'm happy to do that. And I will say to my clients, I'm like, if you are committed to this particular program, just let your credit card cool off for 100 days, be all in, because people are always looking externally for the answer. And the answer, perhaps there's crappy courses out there. There's no disputing that, but it's taking a look at like, where is my attention around this? And do I think that throwing money at the problem is going to solve the problem when the problem is not the thing? It's you, sis. So that's the opportunity. It's just like being really objective with yourself to say, am I getting an ROI out of this? Have I gone all in on this? Or am I using that as another stepping stone, what I call productive procrastination, to get ready, or think that the learning is fun, but the application of the learning is where things happen. So that's another thing that's really insidious, you know, and it's really taking a good look at yourself to say, nobody is disputing the power of investing in yourself, but it's like, how are you utilizing that? And be honest with yourself as a pulse check. And if you're like clearing the space so that you're applying what you're learning, you're going to get an ROI. I feel like this has turned into an ROI discussion, but I really look at it in that way. It's like the number side of it, but then the emotional ROI as well. Right. Just like you said, like if I'm batch recording, the emotional ROI is like, this feels heavy to me. Right. But then the quantifiable side is like, hey, if it was justified, it makes sense. So I think really what we're talking about is like looking at it in those two ways, you know, the emotional ROI and then the quantifiable side, and doing that together, I think is a really effective way to look at your business objectively.
Yeah. And you know, so many women, I believe, are afraid to do that. Like to look at both sides of it. So, you know, maybe they're stepping over how they're feeling and discounting that, right? Like I kept stepping over, it feels heavy to batch. It feels heavy to batch, but I should be able to do this. I can do this. This will make my life easier. If I batch four, then I don't have to record for another 3 weeks. That's going to save me time and space, but it felt heavy. So I had to let it, you know, I had to let it go. So I think it's really important as well that we're looking at, and I talk to clients about this all the time because they'll get triggered around, well, I think I need that thing. If I have that thing, then I'll be able to get to the next thing. And it becomes this constant drinking from the fire hose of information, believing that when you know enough, then you'll be there. Then you'll be able to achieve what you want to achieve or feel the way you want to feel. And so often I'm advising my clients like you, what would it feel like to hit pause and to not scratch the itch of buying the thing, right? Like not scratch the itch of that addiction. Cause that's what I had. I'm like, well, I'm just going to buy this. And then I'm going to buy this and I'm going to buy this, and learning to say no to myself, even to the point where there was a year, it was actually a couple of years. I'm like, I'm not reading any self-help. I don't want to read any health. Like, this is all I'm doing. Like, I just really narrowed my focus because it was that constant information going in, but I wasn't actually applying it. I wasn't integrating it. And I wasn't looking at the story I was telling myself, which was, I still don't know enough to have what it is I want. We chase that. We chase that in coaches and courses. And it cost me a lot of money. So I have no regrets. Yeah. But it cost me a lot of money. And
I'm right there with you. It was like a very important lesson I had to learn because I kept going external, like looking at that guru and that one. And at the end of the day, they're basically all teaching the same concepts, right? Maybe they're naming it something different. And I'm like, what? That's it. I already know that. And then I was like, well, how many more times and thousands of dollars is it going to take for you to recognize that you have everything? So not just apply it. It just, it's ridiculous. And that's what happens. You know, here's another thing where people, I cleaned out my email, the emails that I give, right? So no diss, but how many challenges, lead magnets, freebies does anybody really need? And really another example of Marie Kondoing your life or your business is like having a separate email for those types of things potentially, or really saying, do you really need this? This is again, productive procrastination that's taking you away from doing things in your business. And that's a big one because what you're talking about is like an attention expenditure that are you going to get an ROI out of it? And it just diverting your attention from your business. And again, that's all predicated on if you are really in business or you want to have a hobby, because it's really cool to say I'm an entrepreneur, right? But that's a big one. Yeah.
It's sexy these days to say you're an entrepreneur, but not everybody. And I think this is another really important thing to say if you're listening and you're thinking about it, not everybody is hardwired to be an entrepreneur. It is not, it literally is not for everybody. You have to have a very high risk threshold to be an entrepreneur. You have to have a certain amount of drive and ambition. Not everybody has that. Like, we are not all hardwired the same. Some of us are better off having jobs. Like, that's just the reality. So could everybody be an entrepreneur? Yes. But you have to really step back and say, Do I really believe that I am that person that can navigate being an entrepreneur? And I don't think everybody has it. So, but we're sold that everybody can, you know, like I said, take a course, grow a business, help people, and you'll make $1 million in a month, which it doesn't work. So
it doesn't work. It's just so fascinating. Yeah. And it's also like really, okay. Cause that's something else that's come up with clients that I know. It's like, what do you like about being an entrepreneur? Well, I love the time freedom. Okay. So you can find a job where you're a contributor, right, to that business that has the same sentiment around that time freedom element, right? So just like really, that's a very important distinction. Not everybody is wired to be an entrepreneur. You literally have to have fortitude. You have to be okay, not cut emotion. I'm telling you, it has taught me so much in the personal growth area, just to be like, to be tenacious, to yes. be resilient. I know that's your favorite word, like it to be resilient to no matter what. And that's why I always say it's the greatest roller coaster ride ever. Right. Some people don't like the roller coaster, but I do. I'm a glutton for punishment.
I know. It's the best personal development you'll ever get, because you're always sure. going to be learning lessons. But you know, I'm all for doing less. But the reason that I'm able to have so much more time freedom now is because of the hours and the time that I put into what has got my business from where it was to where it is now. So, yeah. you know, I think it was Brian Tracy that used this metaphor, and I've never forgotten it. You know, a plane, in order for it to take off, it has to go full throttle down the runway, and it mm-hmm. has to keep speed until it gets to altitude, and then it can level off. And when you're starting a business or growing a business, you have to be prepared that you're going to have to put your foot on the gas. Because I could tell you, I came into the online space, right, after running a successful offline business, hung up my shingle in the online space, and then was like devastated. I'm like, where are the people? What do you mean? Like, this is what I've been doing for years. Where are the people? And I got my ass handed to me, because it was basically, you don't have a business, Lisa. So you built this entire huge course, but you don't have a business. You have a program, but you don't have a business. And then I was like, what? And that's when, you know, I need a opt-in bar. I need a website. I need a this, I need a coach. I need that program. I need this. That's when the spiral down started, because it was like, I actually don't know what I'm doing. So I need to go learn. But then that learning turned into this like obsessive, like if I have this, then I'll get there. So, you know, eventually you get to the place where it's okay to want more. It's okay to want to get to a different level of success in your business, but you have to get to that place where you're willing to make space for more to come in. And that's, you know, you can't, if you go buy another shirt and try and shove it into a closet that's stuffed full of clothes, there should be no room to hang the shirt. And in your business, you have to go through and you have to start letting go of courses. Maybe you need to let go of some of your mentors. Maybe you need to let go of some of your beliefs. Maybe you need to stop shooting on yourself and just give yourself permission to delete half your email list, which exactly. I did. And we're getting ready to do that again, because my messaging has changed and tweaked, and I know it's not resonating with some people. So that's okay. Like, go find your next person to follow. I'm not for everybody. And I'm finally at a place where I really love that I'm not for everybody. Like, if you aren't willing to challenge your beliefs, if you're not willing to hold space for polarity in this world these days, if you're not willing to look at the both and conversation around everything in your own life and in the outside world, you're not my people. And that's okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
and
that is.
I think that more of us need to step into being okay with letting people go, letting things go in our businesses and in our lives that really aren't serving the place that we want to get to.
I agree wholeheartedly. Last year for me, I had a really, really great year, and I was looking back at it and I was just thinking about, I had a mantra, right? And my whole mantra was, the less I work, the more I make. The less I work, the more I make, you know? And it was just really crazy. I was like, I had to go through the emotions though, Lisa. I was like, I was hardwired to be a workhorse my entire life. And I was like, okay. And it was doing a head game on me, because I was like, how is it that I'm only working 2.5 days a week, right? And I'm making so much money. How is that possible? Right. So even though intellectually we've heard, oh, you know, money doesn't come from work and this and that, it did a head game on me for sure. But that came as a result of me clearing the space. I decluttered so much of everything in my business. And I'm always the type of person that if I give the suggestion to my clients, it's because I've personally done it. Yeah. Right. I'm not like hypothesizing here. This is exactly what worked for me. And so that for me a year ago, or all of 21, was all about clearing space, simplifying, you know, being really rigorous around clean. I'm so tidy with stuff, you know, and what happened was really amazing as a result of that. So now I keep like, I'm so on my soapbox about keep it simple, simplify, Marie Kondo your business, clear the clutter, because energetically, like, it just opens a space and the universe abhors a vacuum. So it's looking to fill it with the good, but you got to open the space in order for that to happen. And so that could come. I mean, we've talked about emails, courses, mentors, attention, you know, the way you're running your business. And so it's really taking a checklist and inventory of all of these areas. And I can tell it's worked for you too. So yep. It most definitely works and it's really worth it, but just know that it is definitely a process. And for me personally, I went through the head game around it. Like, this is too good to be true. I kind of went through that whole thing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because there's comfort in the chaos for most of the women who are in, you know, my coaching practice and knowing you and knowing myself. There's comfort in the chaos. Our nervous system is so used to the chaos that calm feels weird. Calm feels not normal. Our nervous system is like, I don't know if this is safe. Like, calm literally doesn't feel safe when you've been in the doing, the overfunctioning, as ways of coping. Like, those are coping mechanisms that we learn. We attach our value and our self-worth to them. So when you start to simplify, when you start to do less, right? Everybody's like, I want to do less. I can't wait to do less. I wish I had all the time in the world. I would clean out my house. And then the pandemic hit and people did jack shit, right? It's because people aren't comfortable in the calm, don't know how to be with that. So when you start simplifying and letting things go and are committed to that way of being, you also have to be willing to sit in your emotions. And most people do not have the emotional fluency. They don't have the emotional resiliency. They've spent their whole lives trying to numb it down and not feel it. Unless it's happy, we'll feel happy, but we don't want to feel anything else. And that's why I'm so passionate about this work, because the more I can get people to feel comfortable in the discomfort, the better leaders they become, the better moms they become, the better business owners they become, the more money you'll make, the more peaceful a life you'll have. Like, but it's challenging, right? Because it's such a mind bend. So again, I'm not saying you don't need to do anything, right? Like, if you're starting a business, you're going to have to put your foot on the gas, but there comes a point in time where, you know, it's that saying that I've heard so many times, it makes me want to bang my head against the wall. What got you here won't get you there.
Yeah.
It's true. Like, the plane can't keep climbing forever. It's not meant to go into orbit,
right?
It's meant to stay in the atmosphere. So this is why looking at what is and what isn't working, checking in with yourself, tuning into your emotions, looking at the data, making decisions based on, you know, a combination of both. It's a constant practice. It's not a one and done.
Oh my God, if it was a one and done. But there's always, like, you know, another cheesy saying, but so relevant, is like, new level, new devil.
Oh God, yeah.
Right? But that's the reality of it. It's like, now I'm in a space where I'm like, okay, anytime I'm stuck and there's a bottleneck in my business, and I'm like, okay, it's time for a who, but then it's got to be the right who. And what am I bringing to the right? Is it a compliment and to the way that the business is run, et cetera. So yes, new level, new devil, but all of this is only as good as the action you take. So, it's been such a learning. And for me, the thing that has been so pivotal in even in my own community is really talking about the difference between people who are the high performers in the group, you know, and then the other people that want, they like the concept, but they're not putting the foot on the gas. You cannot move a parked car, people. So it's like, take the action, as messy, it's going to give you data. And then they're like, well, why do they do so well? Well, they do so well because they're in it to learn, and it doesn't mean anything. It's just data. And I think that that's the most empowering space to come in, is like learning to be disciplined about not layering on your emotional baggage around the data that you find in your business. And it just is a game. I honestly, to take a wee little segue, about a year ago, I started to really get into cryptocurrency, and that has taught me so much about how to like have the fortitude around money. That was a big one, because now with crypto is super volatile, and it goes up and down and up and down. It's like literally crocodile teeth graphs, you know? And for whatever reason, I have my portfolio and I'm doing my due diligence and all of it, and people get into the downs and they literally are in panic. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Well, you know, that's, I don't make it mean anything. And that has been the most empowering thing ever. I don't recommend crypto if you are like not into losing money, but like, it doesn't mean anything. And I'm so proud of myself, because literally even 3 years ago, I would have been in a full on panic. And it's just all of these different things that give you data. It's so enriching.
This is so good. This is so good, because what you're talking about is creating neutrality. And in my business for so long, what kept me stuck was the inability to be neutral. I wanted the outcome that I wanted it, and I wanted it in the way I wanted it, right? So I wanted this, and I wanted it to happen the way I wanted it to happen. And in my business now, you know, I don't want to say I just throw spaghetti against the wall. That's not true. Like I, you know, I know where I'm going to, right? I know the outcome that I want, but I am so unattached to it. I'm not attached to when, I'm not attached to how. I am more attached to my willingness to just try and see what happens.
Yes.
And I'm very open and honest with my clients when they're totally in an experiment with me. I'm like, I'm going to try this thing, and I'm going to do this with you guys, and let's see how it rolls. And everything has turned out well. I'm not in a rush anymore. So even this year, I've got, you know, big audacious goals, as I always do, because I just love big audacious goals. But I'm not attached to whether or not I get there, because I know even having the goal will help me make better decisions along the way, right? I'm more attached to the what decision can I make today to move me forward. But this year, I'm really taking this year as a year of, okay, well, these are the things we're going to put out there, and we're going to tweak, and we're going to test, and we're going to look at our messaging, and we're going to see, like, is this helping people? Is this what people want? I'm going to take the whole year to do that before I even think about, well, how can I scale this? Right? Like, so that desire to get there is no longer with me, because I realized there is no there. And I think that first happened for me when I had my first like really big financial year. And then I was like, oh, I need, now I just have to go do that again. Right? Like there was no, the unicorn didn't show up. The glitter didn't fall from the sky. I mean, it was awesome, but it was like,
could it have been, that's what I went through. I was like, could it have been that easy? Like what? How did I work less than half the time and made more money? I was like, what? Yep. And like, and for me, it was just like, oh, it doesn't have to be hard. That was the big one for me. It doesn't have to be hard.
Doesn't have to be hard. Cause even this past year, I mean, this was a challenging year on a lot of levels, 2021, but you know, for most of the month of August, other than seeing my clients, I did nothing, cause it was all about getting on stage. I worked less this year than I had the year before, and my business was still more profitable and brought in more revenue. So I think that there is this place that you hit once you get this around simplifying.
Yes.
That, you know, one of my coaches talks about, you're able to amplify money, right? Like it just, it does get easier, but there's different stages and levels in business and things that you have to work through. So I love all the crappy lessons I got in the past in my business, because they really allowed me to get to this place of running my business so simply. I mean, it's literally me and one team member, and then she's got people working under her, and that's it. And as far as I'm concerned, even with, you know, these programs that we're going to put out, my goal is, okay, how can I put together a program that is going to be super easy and light for me to deliver? There will be no Facebook group. Gasp. I'm providing no community. And I know like you're laughing at that, but like in the online space, it's like, well, you have to have a Facebook community. Says who?
Yeah. Right? Well, like you actually don't have to do anything. Right. Yeah. It's true.
I don't want to host a community because that feels heavy on my energy, but I'm going to encourage the women in my program to create their own communities because I think that's important, but I don't have to host it or lead it. You know, I think about, well, what do I want launched? Like we really look at energetically, what is going to feel good for us? How can we make this as simple and easy as possible? I don't want to, I don't ever want a complicated business. So even my goals are based around like, you know, do I want a $500 million business? Probably not, because the reality of running that type of business, I'm not interested.
Right. I mean, you would have to have a big, big, big team. And yeah, that it's funny you say that. I was talking to my friend about the same thing because she does extremely well. And she's just like, I don't know. I feel like right at about 1.5 million or two, I'm good. And I'm like, yeah, she's like, I don't want a big team. I don't want a lot of people. I would be so ecstatic at that level, but just having true harmony, right? Mm-hmm. Harmony of attention, your energy, all the things. And she's about at 1 million. And she's like, I'm so happy. I don't need more than that. Like I'm good.
I think that's, you know, even one of my coaches said to me, she's like, Lisa, do you want $1 million or do you want $1 million business? She's like, because you can have both and one doesn't have to equal the other. And I really sat with that. You know, for me, the goal of reaching $1 million in 1 year in revenue in my business is just sounds like a fun goal to me. Mm-hmm. It's just a fun, like, I really sat with that. I'm like, do I really want to do that? But once you pass 1 million, it does change like team, people, especially if you're hosting communities, customer service, all of those things. And you have to pay those people. So it sounds glorious, like, oh, $1 million, but that's not $1 million in my pocket. Right. You know, I profit first my business. So I know my, you know, I know what I get paid. I know what goes to profit. I know what goes to expenses. And the business takes a very large chunk of that revenue as its lifeblood to run the business. So this is the other thing people don't realize is your business is going to cost you money to run, which is why you need to be so discerning about how you're investing the money in the business and keep the business separate from you. Like I said, you know, don't use your business as a piggy bank. It's piggy not, bank. Yep. Yep. It's a separate entity. So yeah, play the long game.
Play the long game. Don't layer the emotion to it. I love what you talked about neutrality. That was a big lesson, the neutrality side of it. And that's been massively rewarding to come from that place of just having it be neutral.
Yeah, I agree. I'm still working on a certain level, to be totally transparent, a certain level of neutrality around money still, because for so long, right, I didn't have it. So I wanted it. And then, you know, my business changed and then I got used to having it in my bank account. But now what I realize is the habits that have supported me growing my business to where it is around my money, I actually need to chuck those habits now. I need to Marie Kondo them because they're actually keeping me stuck. So I'm like the woman that's still getting on the scale every day to make sure that her weight loss is still sticking, right? At some point you have to realize the scale isn't telling you, like, you need to just trust yourself. And that's where I'm at now is like, how can I go deeper with this level of trust around my money that I don't need to be checking in? Because for a long time, I needed to check in my bank accounts and make sure everything that was part of my growth and becoming really a great steward of my money. But now it's about neutrality. Like you said, you know, with your crypto, it drops. Oh, well, right. Do I need to check in with my money as much anymore? Or can I be in that neutral space where it's taking care of itself, right? I need to see my P&Ls every month. But other than that, like, I don't need to be constantly like,
I agree. It's that, and I love the analogy of like, yeah, because I remember those obsessive days where I would like weigh myself every single day. And I used to do that with my money as well. I just had a big epiphany. I'm like, oh my God, I did that with my money as well. And now I don't do that at all.
No. And see, that's the thing. We have to, when you step back and you use this, you know, metaphor of Marie Kondo, it's an opportunity to even look at, are these habits and behaviors, are they still supporting me? Are they actually the thing now that's holding me back. And when you don't get attached to any specific way of being or any specific habit or tool or person in your business or someone in your life, right? When you really put what it is you need first in order to expand, that's when things shift. So that, like, I mean, this whole piece around money for me, that like that penny just dropped yesterday for me. And I was like, oh, I need to stop doing this. This is actually, because I was afraid, Patty, I was afraid to take money out of my account to invest it. Cause I was like, I like seeing it there. Right. I like seeing it there.
You know, that's so true. I like, it's really interesting though, because it's all matter how you see it. Like in my head, there's an amount that I want in there at all times. And if it goes less, I don't worry about it anymore. Where I would before, now I'm like, okay, it'll go back up and it just goes back up. You know what I mean? But it's so funny because I see it as like, that's just my normal.
Yeah.
I don't see it as like, I'm afraid to not see it. I'm just like, I know it'll be there. It's just, it's so nuanced.
Because literally I was moving it from my bank account into my investment account. Yeah. Like it wasn't going anywhere. I was literally
not just like you were losing it,
moving it. Right. But that whole, like, It was a really big deal. And it was getting to that place of like, Lisa, you need to be neutral about this. This is how it moves and flows. And I do have like, I'm going to try and put together it'll probably be a two-part episode around my journey with money, because it's literally like, I look at where it started and where I am now, and it's always evolving and growing. And I think that that's, you know, probably a great place to wrap this is when it comes to personal development or business. I think so many of us hold this belief that we should be able to fix it and move on. And it's just, when you stop looking to fix yourself or fix your business or fix anything, and you just understand that every year, every day, every week, every month is going to give you layers of opportunity for growth. That's really a powerful place to work from, right? There's no there to get to.
There's no there to get to. And I heard this really great quote of somebody talking about, we all have so manys. We all have so many days left in our life. We all have so many great days where we look gorgeous, so many days where this and that. And it's like, nobody's getting out alive, right? Like, have fun with it. Stop being so freaking serious. And for me, the most important thing is just really understanding, like, we all have so many. So if you're caught in your analysis paralysis, right? For you who is hearing this, like, just check in with yourself, be honest. Like, if you're stuck, well, it's because you've imposed the stuck, and because there's never the there to get to. There's always, it's evolutionary. You know, this is the deal. This is the game. It's just always seeking to be better, right? For yourself, and putting yourself first, like you talk about, which is really, yeah. A beautiful way to see it. It's not selfish. It's just,
yeah,
it's how to be, which is really empowering.
Have fun. Keep it simple. You know, one of my old mentors used to say, we're not creating oxygen. I'm thinking, we forget that, right? Like, we're literally not creating. I'm not going to solve world hunger.
Right.
Teaching people how to, you know, be more in touch with what they're feeling.
Yeah.
But I'm changing the world in my own little way. So as are you. Tell people, Patty, where they can find you if they want to follow you. I know you've got your podcast, you've got your group program. So talk a little bit about those things, please.
Thanks. Thank you, Lisa. So positioningtoprofit.com is the main site. Just go to positioningtoprofit.com. There's all the goodies there. You can find a positioning quiz. The whole angle that I take is really establishing a category of one, because we are all in very crowded, bloody oceans. And it's really important to highlight the things that make you unique and bringing them out to light, because when you have that, you stand out uniquely. You can find everything there again, positioningtoprofit.com, as well as the podcast is called Positioning to Profit.
I love it. It's awesome. So we'll do our yearly podcast episode again.
Yes.
Where
will we be next year, right?
I don't know. It's going to be I have a feeling that this year is going to be a good year. I'm sure it will be filled with unexpected, as every year is. Yeah. But this year feels more expansive to me than last year, but maybe that's just because, you know, I got my nervous system back online.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling more optimistic in the world, or maybe I'm just more at peace and in a place of acceptance of this is where we're at. And, mm-hmm. You know, how can I still win?
Yep, we've talked about that, and it is. It's like it coming from a place of hope and support and all these things that we see. At least that's where I'm choosing to focus on. And then, yeah, it'll be a good year.
So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Make sure that you check out Patty and all her programs. And remember to just be kind to yourself, be kind to everybody else out there, because we're literally all just doing the best we can, and none of us have it figured out. So thanks so much for being on, Patty.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Anytime. Adore you.